It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Schaap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. Blackman Auctions. For over 80 years, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. I recently took a trip to Scotland and the home of golf, St. Andrews, played the Old Course and the Jubilee Course, and also was able to go up and play Carnoustie while I was over in Scotland with my wife and Coach Joe Foley of the Little Rock Trojans and his wife, Chris Foley. While I was there, I had the opportunity to sit down with Angela Howe, the director of the R&A World Golf Museum. It sits right behind the R&A Clubhouse, and she has a fantastic view of the North Sea and the West Sands Beach. I hope you enjoy my interview with her coming up here in a matter of minutes. This week, it's the Open Championship, the British Open from Royal Liverpool. Last year, it was at the Old Course, and what a historic tournament it was for the 150th Open Championship at St. Andrews. This year, Royal Liverpool is the host, and it no doubt will have some fantastic action as well. The weather can always play a part in any British Open Championship. Blackman Auctions. Since 1938, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions, one of our great sponsors of From the Short Grass. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Angela Howe, the director of the R&A World Golf Museum, will join me.
With all the decisions you need to make about what to do in El Dorado, finding a place to stay is an easy one. The Haywood is uniquely positioned to make your stay one to treasure. Located in the historic Union Square District of El Dorado, the Haywood offers luxurious accommodations that feature contemporary, colorful rooms with high-quality bedding, comfortable baths with walk-in showers, and a spacious workspace with stylish plantation shutters that are unique additions to the stunning decor in a non-smoking environment. Make the Haywood your home away from home the next time you visit El Dorado.
The future is not about a bond reaching maturity. The future is what my grandfather worked for. It's what my father carried on. It's my responsibility today. The future is my son's tomorrow. At the Stevens Private Client Group, we believe that our strength builds success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
This is Thomas Blackman with Blackman Auctions. The economy is changing slowly but surely. The market is slowing down in a gradual slide. Not an emergency yet, the sky is not falling, but a change is coming. When times are good, auctions make buyers compete to buy at the highest market value. When the economy gets tough, auctions force buyers to make a purchase decision. Either way, auctions get the highest return for a seller and a strong deal for a buyer. With an experienced auction company, it's a simple process. Go to BlackmanAuctions.com for more information. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Angela Howe, her official title, Museum and Heritage Director at the R&A World Golf Museum in St. Andrews, Scotland. When you look at her LinkedIn page, she studied for a Bachelor of Arts, followed by a Master in Philosophy in the History of Art. She then undertook a postgraduate diploma in Museum and Gallery Studies at the University of St. Andrews from 1997 to 1998. Her involvement with the British Golf Museum at the time began during her time there at the University of St. Andrews, initially as a museum assistant. She says she was awarded several promotions, reaching the position of director in 2009, a title that she still holds. Her role includes responsibility for the running of the museum, overseeing the management of the collections in the Royal and Ancient Golf Club of St. Andrews and undertaking heritage projects on behalf of the RNA Golf's governing body. If you ever get a chance to go over to St. Andrews and potentially play the old course, the RNA World Golf Museum is a must stop on your trip. I promise you it is well worth your time. On the tee, the director of the RNA World Golf Museum, Angela Howe.
Angela, thanks for joining me on From the Short Grass. I just have to say, first off, what an office view that you have here behind the Royal and Ancient Clubhouse. You're the director of the RNA World Golf Museum. That has to be special.
Gosh, yes, it's an absolute privilege to work here. And, you know, you mentioned my office, and for your listeners who can't actually see what you see, I'm in a glass box and I have the most fantastic views out over the famous West Sands Beach. And I'm just a stone's throw from the Royal and Ancient Clubhouse and the old course and all that history that surrounds us here. It's absolutely incredible.
What's it like living here in St. Andrews and working right next to where this game started?
You never become complacent about it, and I think that's really important. And when I drive into St. Andrews, I don't actually live in St. Andrews. I live 9 miles outside in a village called Cooper. But when I drive into St. Andrews in the morning and I get my first glimpse of the Royal and Ancient Clubhouse and the courses, and I think I try to see it through the eyes of somebody who's approaching for the first time. And this is a journey that they've made, and this is what they've been hoping to see and saving up for all their lives. And yeah, never become complacent about it, never take it for granted, because it's very unique and it's very special. And I'll just tell you something that happened earlier this week. I had a group of American visitors who had a private tour of the museum galleries in the evening. They had drinks and canapés, and I gave them a tour and just absolutely loved speaking to them. And it was really special, because for some of them it was their first visit to St. Andrews, and to be able to share that history with them is really special. It's really something.
When you see the reactions of the guests, the patrons, if you will, that come through the doors of the museum, I assume that most of them are like, wow, smiling from ear to ear.
They are, and as I say, for some people, this is a journey of a lifetime. They will only do it the once. They've been saving up for it. They've had friends or family who have told them about St. Andrews. And they come on a golfing pilgrimage in the same way that people used to come to St. Andrews on religious pilgrimages centuries ago. It's never really lost that sense of importance.
I would also think that some come obviously for the golf, but there's a lot more to do around this place. Castles, churches, shopping even.
I mean, yes, all of those things, and the restaurants, and we have some really iconic places to visit in St. Andrews. It's not just about coming down and seeing the Royal and Ancient Clubhouse and standing on the Swilkin Bridge and having your photograph taken. There's the Cathedral Cemetery, for example, where some of the most famous names in golf are buried. So Tom Morris Sr., Tom Morris Jr., Alan Robertson, Jamie Anderson. You know, we've got these great golfers associated with the Open Championship and with the development of golf. And, you know, they were real stars, if you like, in their own time. They were very well known and very respected individuals, and their skills and their talent was, you know, really recognised. So that's a really important place to visit, and I would always recommend to people to go there, and also to see the cathedral as well, which is obviously very important. But St Andrews is such a small place as well, so you can go around and you can look at blue plaques on buildings that tell you who lived there, which golfers, which club makers lived there, so you get a real sense of history throughout the whole town. And then you've got the Jigger Inn, which is where the golfers go to drink, or the Dunvegan, just up, you know, a couple of 100 meters up the road, if that. So we have these iconic locations, and the course is very close to the town as well, or the courses are. And I think that takes some people by surprise how compact St Andrews actually is. You can see everything, kind of appealing to the senses all at the same time.
Working here at the R&A World Golf Museum, let's discuss what is actually inside this building, if you will. What's the oldest artifact you have?
Well, oldest, one of the oldest, one of the most important collections is the Troon Golf Clubs, which is the oldest known set of golf clubs in the world, and they date to end of the 17th, early 18th century. And the story, how we came by them, is really, really fascinating. They were found in a boarded up cupboard in a house in Hull, Maester House, which is open to the public to this day. And the house suffered a fire, and when the cleanup operation was taking place, this cupboard was discovered, and inside the golf clubs were wrapped up in newspaper. And I think the newspaper was dated something like 1784, so the clubs are obviously earlier than that. And they went through different hands and eventually found their way to Troon Golf Club, and we have them on loan. And it's a fascinating collection, fascinating story. And they could have been destroyed in that fire. The fact that they were saved is absolutely extraordinary.
Can you walk through the museum and see the evolution of the game from obviously the very beginning up into where we are now?
So we take a thematic approach, and just to give you a little bit of history about the museum itself. So the museum opened in 1990, and it was formed by the Royal and Ancient Golf Club, who set up a trust to build and run the museum. So the core of the collection came from the club, and over time we have added to the collection through loans and donations. And so we were originally the British Golf Museum, and then as we were approaching what would have been our 30th anniversary in 2020, and with the 150th Open that was supposed to come to St Andrews in 2020, we decided it was time for a refurb. We had been doing little upgrades each year, but we decided we really wanted to modernise the galleries. And we were very fortunate that myself and the curators were able to take everything out and start again. So we did that. We stripped everything out of the galleries in August 2019. And then we worked with the designers all through the pandemic, and we reopened in June 2021 as the R&A World Golf Museum. So we changed the name, we changed the branding, and really it was important to us to make that connection to the club, to the R&A as golf's governing body, obviously alongside the USGA. But we wanted to signpost our connection to the organisation, to make it clearer for people, because some visitors would come in and they would think we were completely independent, or we were something to do with the St Andrews Links Trust to run and manage the courses. And so we wanted to make that clearer. And whilst we have World in the title, which is ambitious and it's aspirational, we felt that the collection had grown sufficiently to justify having World in our name. So that's how the museum came about and how it evolved to what we are today. But in coming back to the collections, we take a thematic approach. Previously it was chronological, which was quite cumbersome in a way, because themes would then start repeating. So we wanted to bring all of the early history together, championships together, equipment together, so that people could see it in a kind of broader, more easily digestible sense. We also went for an open plan approach so that people can choose which way they go round, and if something catches their eye, they can think, oh, I'll just go over here, and it doesn't matter which order our visitors do things in because they can still capture everything.
The evolution of the golf club, when you walk in here, you see it from its early stages up into where we are now with the titanium drivers, the graphite shafts and everything. It's not the hickory sticks and the iron that they played with back in the day.
So we cover everything, and it's really important that we cover everything. And our proposition for the museum is the past, present and future of golf. So we always have to be looking at what's happening in the past, what's happening in now, which sets the scene for what's going to happen in the future. So we try to tell a balanced story and not focus too much on the past. Obviously, it depends what's in our collection, but we try very hard to tell that balanced story so that people can learn much more holistically about the sport and about the evolution of the equipment and how things have transitioned from this to this to this, mm-hmm, to get to where we are today. And I think, given the feedback and the responses we receive from our visitors, they're really keen on that. They really appreciate that sort of holistic story.
When you look at the game, and obviously the Open Championship is the crown jewel that the RNA puts on every year, is there a place dedicated in here for the Open Championship and showing here's who won this year, here's who won this year, and so on and so forth?
We do have a pretty comprehensive Open Championship collection, which is on display, and that's all out in the galleries. And we also have interactive displays as well, where you can find out more about your favourite player. So we kind of do it that way, through a combination of the artefacts and the digital displays as well. And you're right, the Open Championship is such an important part of the game's history. But also here in St Andrews as well, you know, some of the players I mentioned who are now buried in the cathedral graveyard. You know, we have so much information about those players, and not just their competitive careers, but what they actually did to the sport and how they helped the sport evolve. You know, the whole idea of amateur golf and professional golf and the status of each and what that represents is another important part of the history. Even, for example, looking at the size of the trophies, so the amateur championship trophy is enormous, which started here in 1885. It's a huge trophy. The claret jug is tiny in comparison, mm-hmm, which might say something about how amateur golf or amateurism was perceived at that time. That was the pinnacle. And then, of course, you've got amateurs who can play in the Open Championship. It's a long time since an amateur won an Open Championship, but there have been a few exciting moments, right, where you've thought, my goodness, this could actually happen. That would be so exciting. It would be so incredible in this day and age for an amateur to win the Open. But they can still compete. They can compete against those professional players.
And last year in the States, the U.S. Open being held at the Country Club, which is where the last amateur won the U.S. Open, there in Brookline, Massachusetts at the Country Club, it was Francis we met. I guess here, being an Open Championship, anybody can play, just like in the U.S. Open. They can try and qualify to play in it.
That's absolutely right. And it's one of these special things that, you know, thinking about the Open Championship specifically, the first year it was played in 1860, a number of golf clubs were approached and they were invited to send two of their best players to compete. In the end, there were only eight competitors, and the following year it was made open to all the world. And it's such an amazing concept to have this and to be able to refer back to that, mm-hmm, that it's open to all the world.
To sit here and think about golf 200, 300, 400, 500, 600 years ago, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, when we think about the very first written reference to golf, mm-hmm. You know, in 1457, it was being banned. So golf and football were banned by King James I, and the subjects were supposed to be practicing their archery, because if they ever had to defend the realm, then they had to be good at archery. And those bans were repeated by subsequent monarchs, but people would not obey. People wanted to play golf, they wanted to play football. These were their national sports. And you know, they won through in the end.
Right.
And that says a lot about the power of the game, and you know, people really wanted to play these sports.
After the Open has been here at St. Andrews, do you see an influx in visitors around the Open and then right after?
Yes, it's certainly extremely busy in the lead up to, during, and then the following year. So this year we are actually seeing an increase in our visitor numbers. We are actually higher than we were in 2019, which is a really positive place to be. But again, I was telling our American visitors the other evening when they were here. So the old course closes for play a few weeks before the Open.
Mm-hmm.
But you can still walk over the course, so people can still walk around the course with the grandstands, with that whole kind of stadium atmosphere, and experience this whole exciting thing for themselves. And that's really, really special. And I think a lot of people are surprised by that they're allowed to do that. But it's a public course, and that's one of the privileges.
Is there any section dedicated to the rules of the game, how they've evolved, how they've changed over time?
We don't have a lot on the rules on display, but there are references, you know, to the rules, and the fact that in 1897, the Royal and Ancient Golf Club, because of pressure put onto the club by other golf clubs, they formed the Rules of Golf Committee. And because prior to that, each club could set its own rules, and the golfers followed those rules. But then over time, there were calls for one governing body, one set of rules, and other clubs had already chosen to follow the R&A's rules. But that was then formalised in 1897.
Being the director of the R&A World Golf Museum, you see everything that's in here. What is one thing that someone that comes must see?
Well, I have my favourite artefact, and I always point it out to people. And it's a driving putter that was made by Hugh Philp. So it's a 19th century putter. And the reason it's called a driving putter is because it's so windy here. The idea was that you would be able to hit the ball under the wind, mm-hmm. to get to the hole. And Hugh Philp was a official club maker to the Royal and Ancient Golf Club. He was a joiner by trade, as a lot of early club makers were. He was very, very highly respected in his time. So he had built up a very good reputation for his skill as a club maker. This particular driving putter was owned by James Ogilvie Fairley, who was one of the founders of the Open Championship. He was a Prestwick member. And he loaned it to Tom Morris Sr. in 1864. And Tom Morris won that year. Willie Park Sr., Tom Morris's big rival, mm-hmm. had asked if he could borrow it, and he couldn't because it had already been promised to Tom Morris. And so the reason I love this single artifact is because it weaves together so many different people who were instrumental in golf at that time. It brings together those people and the story of that Open Championship, and you can just take so much from it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one item that tells a lot.
The oldest item we've already discussed. What's the newest item you have?
So each year we try to collect something from the Open Champion and AIG Women's Open Champion. We're a couple of years behind, so we'll hopefully get
catch
there.
Up.
We will hopefully catch up.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's within the kind of the championships that we sort of are able to keep the collections most up to date.
Obviously, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, Tiger Woods, Seve Ballesteros, Nick Faldo. The names go on and on and on. Favorite golfer for you that has something inside the museum?
Oh, well, I'm a big fan of Rory. Big, big fan of Rory. And, oh, can you do it this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want something from Rory.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Do you play the game?
I dabble a little bit. I would love to take golf up properly, but yes, time is an issue. Speak to anybody in the R&D, you know, even a lot of the people who are good golfers. Time is not
is
on
tough.
Their side.
It is. Yet. It is.
Yeah. One day.
Best golf course you've ever seen?
Oh gosh, Portrush. Portrush, and I think because it was such a special Open Championship as well, and I remember on the Sunday practice day, I walked around the whole course, and it was just stunning, and it was such a beautiful day as well, and it was lovely just to have that sort of time and space when before it gets really, really busy,
mm-hmm.
so that you can actually try to understand the course and see what, you know, what the challenge is that they're going to be faced with. You know, I'm really, I suppose I would describe myself as an outdoors kind of person. So I love nature and I love to see how the courses can form and almost be part of nature. I think that's really important. And we have that here as well in St Andrews. So, you know, I look at a golf course and I don't just see golf balls and golf clubs. I see how it fits into the landscape as well.
When you pick up the game, you and three others, a four ball, as you call it over here, living or deceased, what other three golfers would you like to play a round of golf with?
Oh, my word. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'd have to pick somebody from the past. I'd have to pick Alan Robertson because he could give me some good advice.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. It's really hard. Really, really hard.
Maybe Rory if...
I'd have to pick Rory.
Yeah. And one more.
Yeah, one more. Who could that be? Oh... I'm stuck. I'm really stuck.
Mr. Nicklaus, Mr. Palmer, Tiger
Woods. It would be so intimidating. I think that's the problem. It would be really intimidating.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. Yes. Angela, thanks so much for your time.
That was good fun. Thank you.
I appreciate it. And best of luck to the museum and everything over here. And it's going to be here for a long time.
Thank you so much. Lovely to speak to you. Thank you.
Traveling to Fayetteville to watch a game? Forgot to book a room for the night? Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group has you covered. Stay where the fans stay. Stayridge Suites is just south of Baum Walker Stadium and is an all-suite hotel within walking distance of Baum Walker, Bud Walton, and Razorback Stadium. Or you could stay at the Comfort Inn and Suites with newly remodeled rooms throughout the entire property. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels.
This is Thomas Blackman of Blackman Auctions. You all know by now I'm not a good golfer, but my son loves the game and he and I have been playing more. I've got my score down to, I've quit playing a scramble on every hole. I'm using the bunker rake much less than I used to. And a lot of the time I hit my drives past the women's tee box. All of my success in golf can directly be tied to me listening to From the Short Grass. Without it, I would not be the golfer I am today. Trey, you owe me $20 for that. Trey knows golf. I know auctions. Come see us at BlackmanAuctions.com. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
That will do it for this edition of From the Short Grass. I want to thank Angela Howe for her time, the director of the R&A World Golf Museum. Remember, when you need an overnight place to stay, make sure you check out one of the Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel properties. Find them on the web, bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. Matthew Allen, Blair Allen, a great sponsor of From the Short Grass. And also, when you find your ball mark on the green, remember to repair it and a couple of more. and I hope to see you sometime soon from the short grass.
You've been listening to From the Short Grass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.